don't believe us, but they believe white folks. We got to learn to cry and faint, because white folks are faint. You ever sit in the bank and there's a robbery, somebody come in, they will faint till that shit is over with. They're not giving up to white folks. They know what to say in court. Niggas, we don't know what to say. Them white folks know how they, oh, serial killers, you know that. I saw some shit on Showtime where them serial killers from driving from state to state killing people and wasn't stopping for gas. That shit, I was by myself, that shit scared shit out of me. I tried to turn to HBO. I got scared. Because they crazy. White folks will kill you, don't they have to know you. Why you kidding?
Oh, you see them dead.
Crazy as cat shit. They got all the answers in court. They asked the crazy white man, crazy white man, why don't you kill your wife? I was sleepwalking. Very unusual case. We'll have to study it. Crazy nigga, why'd you kill your wife? I was sleepwalking. Oh, nigga, really? Well, we're going to put you to sleep. We're going to put an end to all of this. Oh, nigga, there'll be no more walking around. Crazy white man, why did you wake up and kill everybody in the house? I don't remember. He doesn't remember. What an unusual case. We'll have to study this. Crazy nigga, why did you wake up in the project and kill everybody? I don't remember. 2,000 years, nigga, I bet you will remember. Crazy white man, why did you wake up and kill everybody on your block? I'm 12 different personalities. 12 different people? How unusual. We'll have to study this. Crazy nigga, why did you wake up and kill everybody at BET on your job? Because I'm 12 different personalities. Oh, really, nigga? Well, pick who you want to be, because some nigga's going to jail. Ah, Fred, we don't give a damn. A nigga's going to jail today. They don't let us get away with bullshit. But white folks can talk shit all day long.
Hey, baby, remember we were talking about how each prison in Wisconsin is overcrowded?
Yes.
No matter if it's minimum, medium, max, mm-hmm. halfway house, pre-release center. They're also, I pulled up the DOC data and reports, and this is from April 12th, 2024. So what's that? Just a few days ago, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so the total amount of people on probation / parole as of January of this year of 2024 is 62,869 people. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the total amount of people that are actually locked up in prison, 22,288. And then for the max joints, right? Mm-hmm. So at Dodge, their design capacity is 1,165 people. Guess how many people they got in there? 1,575.
Wow.
And seeing, here's the thing, Waupun, their design capacity, and you know, they've been getting a lot of the heat lately, right? For all what's been going on in Waupun. You know, the overcrowding, it's being unsafe, people dying and shit.
Yeah.
You heard about them, the 11 guards of Waupun that got popped for bringing in cell phones and dope and all that shit. And here's the other thing about that. Those 11 guards, they're all white, because there's no black guards at Waupun. I can guarantee that. And I haven't been there since 1998, and I guarantee it ain't no black guard. And if there is, it's maybe one. You know what I'm saying? There's no black guards in them. There's no black guards anywhere past MSDF, RCI, RIOC. That's the Racine Youth Offender Center, you know, that's basically right attached to RCI and shit.
Yeah.
KCC, you know, the halfway houses and stuff like that, there's going to be black guards. But other than that, in the county jail, you know what I'm saying? There'll be some black guards, and there's probably some black guards in Dane County Jail and shit like that. But Waupun, Green Bay, Red Granite, because I was at Red Granite. There ain't no black guards out there. You may, every once in a while, you'll see a black chaplain. You know what I'm saying? Them up north. But that's it. There's no black guards. My point is, the 11 guards, they got popped for bringing in the cell phones and the dope and all that stuff. Those are going to be white people. And I guarantee you, at least 9 out of 11 of them are white males. And the people they're helping give shit to, the cell phones and the weed and all that, it's going to be white inmates. They ain't fucking with nobody black up there. That's what I'm saying. But you ain't even really heard nothing about it. It ain't been on the news. I watch the news every morning. Every morning when I'm drinking my coffee, I watch the news. And it ain't ever on there. And then at night when we're watching it, you don't hear shit about it. I got to go online to read about it. You know what I mean? But here, look at, okay, so Waupun. Their capacity, design capacity, is 882 people, right? Mm-hmm. They got 733 there now. Remember what I told you? Where do you think they sent all them people? That's 100, in rough math, that's about 150 people that they moved around. Because there's no way Waupun would be 100 and something bodies under capacity. Because they're always overcrowded. You know what I'm saying? My point is, I bet you, because remember we were looking at the county jail thing? Mm-hmm. And how the county jails, they have these deals and shit like that, and they make money off, you know, sending people to county jails and stuff like that. Some of those people that they moved around are sitting in these county jails somewhere around the state, and they're waiting to get sent out of state to do time somewhere out of state. Because I'll even look that up, because we have contracts with out-of-state places, and I bet you them numbers will match up. But here, now we'll go to Green Bay. Green Bay Correctional, they have a design capacity of 749 people. That's how many beds they had. That's how many people they're supposed to have in there, inmates. They got 1,045 people in there. Columbia, Portage, same thing. They're supposed to have 541. They got 604. We'll go to the mediums. Fox Lake. They're supposed to have 979. They got 1,300 people. Jackson, 837. They got over 1,000. Kettle Moraine, they're supposed to have 783. They got 1,090 people. Oshkosh. Supposed to have a capacity of 1,494. They got 2,037 in there. Red Granite. And this I want to, because I'm going to talk about Red Granite and Waupun some more. Red Granite has a capacity of 990 inmates. They actually have 1,023 in there. And then, one more here. Racine Youth Offender, that's RIOC, that's for, like, you know, people under 21 and shit. They're 60 people over capacity. Minimums. Chippewa Valley Correctional Treatment Facility, they're 45 bodies over capacity. Oak Hill is only supposed to have 409 people. They have 788. Prairie du Chien, 326. They actually have 513 people in there. You know what I'm saying? The center system, these are like the minimums, you know, the work camps and stuff like that. Black River, they're supposed to have 66 beds. When that place was designed, it was 66 people. They have 129 people in there. Flambeau, supposed to have 50. They have 91. I'm just randomly going down now. Winnebago, supposed to hold 210. They have 289 people in there. Oregon, I was at Oregon, I was a van driver there. They're supposed to only have 78 people in there. They got 122. McNaughton, they're supposed to have 55 people in there. They got 111. Literally every place is over capacity. You can go online and look at this yourself. The DOC website. The only place that is under capacity is Waupun, and I'm guarantee you they're sending them dudes out of state, and you ain't gonna hear shit about it. Cause them people, they got tons of time. Because they were doing that before, and it was people that when they were sending people, when they first started sending people out of state here in Wisconsin, they were sending people to Oklahoma, Texas, Tennessee, Prairie du Chien, Minnesota. And some people that went down there, they didn't want to come back. When they came back, they're like, I wish they would have left me down there. They were just saying how just the living conditions were better. The food was better. Treatment was better. They said they were smoking cigarettes and shit down there. Because, you know, they had took the cigarettes from up here. I don't know why you're going to take cigarettes out of a prison. The most stressful place on earth. You're going to take cigarettes away. You don't care about people's health. But I wanted to do something here on, what was I talking about? All right. Because I was at Red Grant, okay? And then Waupun, too. And I wanted to show how, remember we were talking about how inmates get counted into the state's population, the town's population and shit like that? I'm going to pull that page up and read some numbers to you guys. Okay, I pulled up Red Granite, right? This is the village of Red Granite. It's in Washara County, and that's where the prison is. Red Granite, I was there. It's about, damn near 3 hours. I mean, it is in the sticks. So here's the thing about them. Okay, their population is 2,019 people, right? And the population of the inmates is 1,023. That's how many inmates are in Red Granite.
There are a number of hurdles facing the United States Census this year due to the COVID-19 pandemic, but this is not only the reason that the census could disproportionately impact communities of color.
Sean Gallagher shows us how the census counts in certain areas of the state are not representative of its true residents.
Waupun is home to the two largest maximum security prisons in the state. And because of the way the census works, one out of every four people in this town are either behind these walls or another prison just down the road. The Waupun Correctional Institution looms large in town. Between this and Dodge Correctional, there are nearly 2,800 inmates here. That accounts for just under 25% of the city's population. It's an issue known as prison gerrymandering. The inmates are considered part of the population of the city they're housed, even though they have zero impact on the outcome of elections.
This has had a distorting effect on political representation, and Wisconsin has some of the most dramatic examples in the entire country.
Wanda Bertram is a spokesperson for the Prison Policy Initiative. She says in towns like Waupun, the residents carry more weight politically.
Because of that, what we're seeing is that political representation is effectively being taken away from communities of color that send large numbers of people to prison, and overwhelmingly prison gerrymandering tends to boost political representation in districts that house prisons, which are typically white.
We know in Wisconsin, African Americans are disproportionately jailed. Though they make up less than 7% of the state's population, African Americans account for 43% of the state's prison population, so they're not counted from the communities they're from.
Look at the Constitution's preamble. It says, "We the people of the United States." So they said, well, representation should be based upon the number of people.
Margo Anderson's a retired professor of history and urban studies at UWM. She says the act of prison gerrymandering can further disenfranchise voters of color. In the district Waupun Correctional is in, prison gerrymandering effectively gives each group of 24 actual residents as much political clout as 100 people in other districts.
It gives a slightly misleading impression of the population of those rural areas, and it takes away people who actually sort of think of themselves as belonging to the communities they came from.
However, prisons can cause an unnecessary burden to the communities they're in. Bertram says hospitals can see more activity, roads and other utilities can face higher traffic than they normally would. All of this very costly.
That's not something that counties should be left high and dry to deal with on their own. But the solution is not to distort democracy in order to solve those problems.
I've reached out to the mayor of Waupun as well as the state representative for this district, Michael Schraub. Neither were available for comment.
And they're not going to be available for comment. They're going to keep, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, unless people are doing reporting like that, or been, you know, locked up like I have, they ain't gonna really know that. You know what I'm saying? Because the other thing with that, too, it's not about just the the actual disenfranchisement and stuff like that and the underhandedness is actually, you know, the problem of taking that many amount of votes away just based off the fact that you can't vote. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about, like, even just when you get released, like someone like me, you know, paying taxes, I'm working and all that kind of shit, but I can't vote. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's why it's so important for individuals, and that's why I'm trying to get this stuff together with the ACLU, you know what I'm saying, so that individuals that are in these county jails and haven't been convicted of crimes yet can go on and register and then vote. Because even if you vote, let's say you're sitting in jail, or if you know someone that's sitting in jail and shit like that, they haven't been convicted of a crime, they're sitting in, I don't care if they're in there for a murder. If they haven't been convicted of that murder yet and they ain't sitting in there on no PO hold or nothing like that, they ain't got no other case or nothing like that, and they're just in there with a fresh case, haven't been convicted yet. You can be charged, I'm talking about convicted. That individual can vote. And even after they've been convicted, if they do, their vote still counts. It's not like they go back and take your vote away once you're convicted. Your vote still stays good. Trust me, I know that. I hollered at the dude from the ACLU as an attorney. He called me, and I talked to him. He didn't want me to record it. I was going to record the conversation. I asked him if I could, and he said that he didn't want to do that. But he said, because he had, like, some lawsuits in the work. He was working on a lot of stuff or whatever, so he didn't want to... He didn't think it was a good idea to be recorded, but he wanted to give me the information and stuff so I could relay it to people listening to the podcast. So, you know, he said it's tough getting, because in jail, see what the ACLU does is they try to get jail officials and stuff like that. They try to coordinate with them so they can get information in the jails to get people registered in there. Because a lot of people, they go to jail, you get locked up, you just probably assume you can't vote just based off the fact you're locked up. You know what I'm saying? And he said that it's tough, getting together with some of these jail officials. He said it is really tough sometimes to get them to do their part. He told me, this is a white fella too. You know what I mean? This is a white fella attorney that was telling me all this stuff about how tough it is to have them do their part. You know what I mean? He told me that. But, yeah, he wasn't willing to be on, excuse me, to be recorded. He was a lawyer and shit. I appreciate he called me back, but I'm working with them right now trying to get some voting booths and some information in these jails, because that's one way we can fight against the prison gerrymandering, is making sure people vote before they even get convicted of something. You know what I mean? But like I was saying, Red Granite, the population, you know what I'm saying? So half the population in Red Granite is inmates. You know what I mean? There's like, I just read, it's like over, population Red Granite is like 2,100 some people. And there's like 990 people at Red Granite. So that's just about half. But if people don't know that, they'll just think, oh, there's 2,000 people in Red Granite. You know there's not. Half of them are locked up. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that. What do you think that's... What do you think about that shit?
Let me think about that.
Okay. So the problem with all this is... And this is from the Prison Policy Initiative, right? I pulled up this article... And it's about prison gerrymandering. And it's the problem is, it says, the way Census Bureau counts people in prison create significant problems for the fairness of our nation's democracy. When the Census Bureau counts incarcerated people in prison instead of at home, there is a dramatic distortion of representation at local and state levels and an inaccurate picture of community populations for research and planning purposes. Every 10 years, when the Census Bureau endeavors to count every person residing in the country, they make a mistake. They count incarcerated people as residents of the towns where they are confined, even though they are barred from voting in 48 states and almost always return to their homes after being released. The practice not only skews the population count, but also defies most state constitution and statutes, which explicitly state that incarceration does not change a residence. The Bureau's approach to counting incarcerated people dates back to the beginning of the census, when it was important only to count the number of people in each state to ensure equal representation in Congress. Congressional appointment relied on the comparative populations of the state, not where people relative to each other within each state. Now that census data are used for redistricting at all levels of government, the specific location of populations is critical. The prison population has exploded in the past couple of decades. Counting the people in prisons in the wrong place now undermines the Supreme Court's requirement that political power be apportioned on the basis of population. It says, some state legislative districts draw large portions of their political clout not from actual residents, but from the presence of a large prison in the district. Because of the artificially bolstered population count from incarcerated people, the districts with large prisons send representatives to the state capital who have less constituents than the other representatives from districts without prisons. These representatives advocate for the interests of free people in their district, giving those in the district of the prison far more political clout than their neighbors in the districts next door. But most incarcerated people call urban areas home. Counting prisoners in the wrong place results in a systematic transfer of population and political clout from urban to rural areas. For example, 40% of people incarcerated in Maryland prisons are actually from Baltimore, yet 90% of them are counted outside the city. Many districts that contain prisoners have a significant percentage of their residents behind bars. After the 2010 redistricting, there were 24 state house districts across the country where prisons accounted for 10% or more of the district's population.
Good Wednesday, I'm Marissa Wojcik, multimedia journalist with Here and Now on PBS Wisconsin. Today is October 20. Wisconsin is in the throes of redistricting. Done once every 10 years, the process uses the latest census data to not only redraw congressional, assembly, and state senate districts, but also county and municipal lines as well. People who are incarcerated and have lost their right to vote. But they're counted, the way they're counted still has big impacts. We're joined by Jerome Dillard and Peggy West Schroeder of the advocacy group Ex-Incarcerated People Organizing, and thank you both so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Jerome, I want to start with you. A new report released this past week says Wisconsin incarcerates black adults at a rate more than double the national average. Wisconsin is the worst for these rates. Roughly one out of every 36 black residents are incarcerated. Did this come as a surprise to you, and how did the state get to this point?
And although it's a new report, I believe that truly the results have been the same for a couple of decades for the state of Wisconsin. We've always lingered in the top tier, one of the worst states in the country to be African American, and the racial disparities within the criminal justice system. First of all, you know, it's not just those who are incarcerated, because I want to say that corrections only receive those that the courts send to them. The courts only receive those who are adjudicated by the district attorneys. And
Baby, are we talking about the prisons overcrowded? That's part of the, you know, all of this ties into each other, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. With the truth in sentencing and stuff like that, and you know, locking everyone up for breaking rules, not laws, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? For, you know, the like, even with that, like, all the programs they have are for nonviolent offenders. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So if, you know, you're steady sending everyone in, but, like, there's no way out, where there's only, you know, only way out is for nonviolent offenders, and you're picking and choosing who can get out early and shit like that. You know what I mean? Like,
feet oil playing BDP. I'm a rule runner, rule run, she Ali. I am VIP, me and VIP. That is very important plan.
Very important.
I'm a very important man with a very important stance. Boost your moon, I'm the goon, I send tune. If I go to jail, my niggas send a balloon.
Send a balloon.
I ain't in a chip unless it's two for the whip. Uh-huh. With the new tune up, just skip ghosts.
You know, we're dealing with a very critical and crucial time.
Very crucial, very critical.
Most crucial and critical time that I've ever witnessed.
Ever
being
witnessed.
As young as I am, you know.
You know.
We all don't want to say nothing else, so we say as young as we are.
Yeah.
Big brother is too slick.
About
the new blessing and the new crib. But the people in the mud. What's the best for the people? Let the people be the judge.
Be the judge.
Why the news got beat?
Why?
Better yet, why the news got cheap? 1% of wolves, but they not like me.
Not
they
like
don't care about health or the block like
they
me.